Okay, I've got to start out with a little story, and it's not a story, it's the truth. Years and years ago, before Vicki and I, well, we may have had little kids, but I used to play a lot of ball, softball for a company, and they had a basketball team, too, and I played that. We weren't very good, but we were just guys that liked to play, and we thought we were good, so we would play anybody, and we would just get killed. But we would go all over playing ball on weekends and things like that. So one time there was a ball tournament in Columbia, and I don't know if we had kids, and somebody was watching them, or just Abby. We had just Abby, so we pawned her off on somebody. And it was like a vacation for Vicki and I to go to Columbia for the weekend for me to play ball. And we're driving down the road, and we're supposed to get off on Two Notch Road in Columbia. I think it's Two Notch. That's the name of it. And I'm telling Vicki, no, we don't turn here. We keep going straight. And she said, I think we should have turned back there. And I finally said, listen, trust me. I know where I'm going. Well, I was wrong. We finally got to the hotel, and, you know, we did the ball thing. But that gets brought up a lot. Yeah, you know, when we're driving somewhere, and I say, yeah, well, hey, just trust me. She said, yeah, you remember that time when we were going to Columbia. So I was wrong that time. And then you remember a couple months ago, we were on our way to the worship service on a Sunday morning, and Kat got hit. And Vicki posted a thing on Facebook about the poor cat and what we were doing going down the road, and she said, is that our cat? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I pulled over the side, got it. It was dead. Put it in a bag, took it back to the house. We came to worship service, went home, buried the cat in the backyard where the dog is, under the trees. And about two or three days later, I'm out in the garage, and I'm sweeping out, and here comes this black and white cat. And I'm like, you know, that's a little spooky. Well, that's Boots, but I don't know who's buried in our backyard. So I was wrong again because I said, yeah, that's him, you know. Put him in a bag, and she won't look at him. So, you know, she didn't know, but I was wrong. So that's at least two times I was wrong. And I can guarantee you I've been wrong a lot. And I bring that up because I was just telling Patrick, I think I was wrong last Wednesday night. I think I emphasized maybe too much that we obey out of fear. Because, you know, fear God and keep His commandments, and fearing God it leads you to knowledge, and you hear all these things, and you read these scriptures, and I looked it up. I've got a Strong's Concordance, and if you look up fear, it goes from this page, it fills up this page, and you flip over the next. So there's one of the guys' commentaries I read said some 400 times the word fear. Now, some of it is not fear, but fear is used some close to 400 times in the Bible. So I don't want to leave the impression that we serve God out of fear. I think we respect God, and there's an element of fear. So that's kind of where I wanted to go tonight. What my outline says, because we were talking about God's will for you, my outline for this week would have been making God's will a priority in our lives and how we do that. So I'm going to put that off to next week because I have really struggled with this fear versus love. I'm not afraid to admit that I need help because I've been wrong many times before. But I've had an uneasy feeling. Vicki and I were talking last night. I said, I just think I left the impression that we serve God out of fear, maybe more than love. Maybe I didn't emphasize love enough. So that's where I wanted to go tonight. And my whole lesson tonight is just the debate. And I told Patrick, I said, I need dialogue because I've looked it up and I've tried to study more about it. And it seems like the more I study, to me, love way outweighs fear. So what are some of the fears that we have towards God or from God? And I'll start it out with the most obvious, which is the one that I told the gentleman I was talking with, and Patrick and I just agreed, that one of the fears I have of God is punishment, hell. I don't want to serve God because I'm afraid of hell and eternal punishment, but it's there. It'll keep me on a, you better believe that it's there. It's not in the forefront, but it's there. So, help me here. I've got punishment, hell, and I've got Matthew 25:46. Someone, Brian, have you got that? Matthew 25:46. You know, there are those who think that, I'm not saying you're wrong or not, but I would disagree with you. There are those who think that there is no such thing as eternal punishment, or that there is no lake of fire and weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know that. I mean, I guess we could just agree to disagree on that point. Either way, I don't think anybody wants to be lost. I tend to lean towards, I think there's an eternal punishment. I mean, I think it's someplace that we don't want to go. Brian, have you got Matthew?
But the righteous in the life eternal.
Okay. So if the righteous would go into life eternal and everlasting punishment, to me, I don't know, in my feeble mind, sounds eternal.
Word, Mac. So
okay.
Everlasting is the same word for eternal in the original language. So if you say that hell is just kind of like a temporary thing,
right,
then you kind of paint yourself in the corner about eternal life being a temporary
thing.
So
I didn't even know that.
I wish I could help you with the cat.
But you could have too. So, thoughts on that? I have to do this because I can't look at you this way. Yeah. You're not Wesley. Go ahead, man. Only thing, I thought the very same thing. I think, okay, so love grows on you, you know. But of all the acts of conversion in the book of Acts, don't they go away rejoicing? There's joy. And I'm not saying that there should be, they go away afraid, but I agree with you. And
the reason they go away rejoicing, they realize where they were.
Yeah. Adam.
I'd like to compare it real similar to a parent and a child. When you're a child, I think you have a certain amount of fear. same example that Adam used, that when we train our children, and when, a lot of times when people learn, they learn on based on negative consequences, right? I mean, that's how you, a lot of people learn better, not to do something or not to say something or things like that. Hebrews 10:31 says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We know through fear that if we do something wrong, there are consequences for the things that we do. So, therefore, we fear what may happen to us.
Okay.
But I do think there is a balance in that. As we get older, we understand we're not doing the same silly things that we did prior when we were children that got us a spanking or in trouble. And as we grow as a Christian, those same things should happen as well. But I still think that element of fear, it has to be there a little bit because, you know, consequences will happen if we don't obey.
Okay. On my conclusion sentence, I want to ask you about something. Okay.
During the conversion process, someone figures out that they need to obey the gospel. There's a bit of fear of hell, right? Or there's this promise I can be forgiven. And the load is lifted. You become a Christian. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. No one can understand love before becoming a Christian. The true agape sense of love, right?
Okay.
They become, and once you become a Christian, you begin, God begins to calibrate you and refine you through His Word and through trial and error and through mistakes and making things right. So you become calibrated. The love for God, for what He has done because of His Son, allows you to desire this. You've been given this gift. The burden has been lifted. So you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? You develop all of these things based on godly love. And that love that happens after the conversion process is true love and not the love that the world teaches. People love each other, and you can demonstrate that. You may love your spouse, but to love God and to love others like God loves them, like He wants you to love them, is developed. So when you love, you start being, you feel good about the right stuff, you feel bad about the wrong stuff, and then you find joy in this calibration process. I now know that when I do this, it's right, and I feel good about it. And so that's, love is the foundation of Christianity.
So I want to go back to what Adam said, and it's kind of, I was talking to Patrick. As a young boy, feared my dad for what he could do to me. I didn't love my dad. He wasn't a very good dad, but I feared him. But I also, but out of fear, I did what he said to do. To take out the trash, or, you know, I was a remote control, get up, turn the TV. You know, we had remote control before everything invented, so I was turning TV or whatever. I did it out of fear. But I did those very same things for my mother, not out of fear, but out of love. So maybe that's where I struggle sometimes. I understand, you know, our kids fear us because they don't want the spankings, or they don't want to, you know, go to their rooms or take away the cell phones or whatever. But I don't want my kids to fear me. I would rather them respect and love me. Now, I'm sure my mother could have whipped me, but I don't think she ever did. But I wouldn't do things to hurt her because I loved her. Okay? Michael?
You know, we love God to do what He says because He first loved us.
Right.
And the love that, if we show our love to Him, He'll bless us in ways we can't count, right? So, but I still, in the back of your mind, you have to wonder, have that thought. If I don't love Him and I don't get those blessings, if I don't love Him, I don't obey Him. So the consequences are the other.
Right.
And that's how I guess I grab on.
Wait to see what happens. Dustin, you have something?
But if you look at some of the teaching tactics of the apostles to Christians, a lot of them really focus on the punitive nature of God. So, you know, the Apostle Paul, for example, in Romans and Corinthians, if he's the writer of Hebrews, is really focusing on how in the Old Testament God's people missed out. They were punished. They died. You know, they bad things happened to them. So it's a valid point. A lot of people think that's kind of like a scare tactic if you bring that up too much and you're maybe guilting a response out of somebody. So I think the balance kind of needs to be there, and I actually thought last week's class was a perfect balance, you know, as well as what we're saying tonight. It's reminded me since then of Romans 11:22, where we are told to behold the goodness and the severity of God, because they both teach us something.
Adam and Sam. You didn't believe it, did
you?
It does. Yeah. Sam.
I can identify with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 from 26 to 39. End of that account, I think 39, 40, he went away rejoicing. And I rejoice, you know, in the Lord more than fear, out of gratitude, you know, for what has been lifted off me, because I was headed for eternal punishment. And that gratitude helps me to be faithful, helps me to love him and listen to what he says and try to obey him. And because in Hebrew 12:28, I think, we have received, or we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so we should learn to serve God acceptably. And part of that serving God acceptably is out of love, but also with reverence and godly fear. And godly fear in that respect means we need to respect him. Yes, when we sin, we upset him, but we come to him and we do what he says to resolve the issue. So the godly fear, that respect, because I have to respect him. Because when they brought the invitation, because I used to be a Baptist, when they brought the invitation, I resisted him. And so I think my faithfulness is mixed with love and gratitude to what he saved me from.
Agreed.
So Wesley, to just serve him out of fear.
Yeah,
I don't know if I do that every day or not, but my gratitude for what he has done, and he also, not that he will not chastise us in that same chapter, Hebrew 12, he chastised his children and to refine them so they can partake in his holiness. And to me, when the chastisement is happening, I'm grateful because of the result. So that's gratitude.
Okay. Very good. Wes, you have something?
Yeah, I think sometimes we have to be careful. If we, you know, you can't love something or somebody you don't know. It's impossible. And an individual says, you know, you need to love God more. Well, I don't know as much about God as you do, you know. So as time goes on, that fear turns to love. But an individual who has been a member of the church for 20 years, and you ask that individual, why do you serve God? And they say, because I fear God. I'm afraid I don't want to go to hell. I think that individual hasn't developed and grown as they should have, because that fear from the beginning should have developed tremendously on a scale of love instead of a scale of fear. So yeah, I think it's a development.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew. I thought I saw something clicking on top of
me.
I see.
There's a lot of different ways that we see in the Bible, the apostles and others preaching and teaching the gospel. They use fear, but they also use things like calling heaven our reward. It's something that we're working towards, and they try and relate it to a humanistic thing. You know, like winning a race or something like that. And I think that I'm kind of on the same wavelength as Wesley here. It's a maturity thing. I think that when you start out learning about God, hell looks bad because you hear about the gnashing of the teeth and how you want your thirst quenched.
just thinking also about how there's another feeling or maybe emotion that comes into play is guilt. And it's kind of in between those two, because we start to understand God, we start to know what he expects of us, and there's that guilt that comes in when we want to make that right. And the guilt has something to do with fear, but it also has something to do with understanding God and beginning to love him.
So the second thing I had down was in Isaiah 59:2, quote it correct, it says, your sins and iniquities have separated you from your God. Is the fear of being separated from God. That's a fear that we all should have. I don't think it's something we think about a lot because we know that God is there if we're doing those things that we should be doing. But there should be a fear that I don't want to be on this side and God and his people are on this side. I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be separated from God. So that was the second one I had.
Put it.
Right.
But also a fear of missing the reward.
Okay.
So
that's a better way to put it.
We're in the same neighborhood.
Yes.
You know, we're tracking good.
Well, how about a fear of, I put disappointment. In Genesis 6:6, it's recorded there, it says, it repented God that he had made man. And I don't know that God wished he hadn't made man, but I think mankind was such a disappointment to God. And I don't want to disappoint God. That's a fear I have. I fear, you know, if I'm not doing the things I should be, you know, to do good and not do it, that's sin. So if I know to do something good and I'm not doing it, I think I'm disappointing God. I'm disappointing the brethren, and if I'm disappointing the brethren, then probably I'm disappointing God. That's a fear, I think, that we should have. Thoughts? Mike, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Have you ever heard the saying, fear will keep you alive? When I was in combat school, we heard that all the time. That's what we were all
Sounds like a military.
Fear will keep you alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reverent or irreverent outcome of the judgment or the outcome of the situation is what's based on the fear, right? If you're told something, you know, if you're told that you obey my commands, and if you don't, you'll go to hell. That's that right there is a form of fear, but it's not a bad fear. It's a fear that it's just a fact of the judgment or the outcome of the situation. So if you use, you know, logical thought process, you would think that it's not like a fear of being afraid of the dark. The reason why a lot of people are afraid of the dark is because they don't know the outcome of the situation. It's irrelevant. But a relevant outcome of a judgment, you know, it's a fact. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. So I don't.
It's out of reverence that we fear. It's not because of. It's because
the stakes are higher.
Yeah, we love God.
Right.
We know God is truth. We know judgment is certain, and you're going to be judged rightly. There's no halfway in between. You know, there's not different stages of hell. There's not different stages of heaven. It's either heaven or hell, right or wrong. So with that type of fear, knowing that you're going to get a strict judgment for what you do or don't do, it's not a bad thing. It's a thing to keep you, on the right path.
Right.
And the fear of God in such a way as in not to be afraid of God, but to be afraid of the outcome of not obeying God. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Words are very hard to come by.
I don't like electricity because I don't know it. It's, to me, it's the unknown. So I don't mess with electricity. I stay away from it. I will hire somebody to come do whatever in my house because I don't want to touch it. So therefore, I have respect for it. Yeah, I know what end result can be for me. For me, it would be injury or death. So I stay away from it. Exactly. But he has enough knowledge. Right. He knows how to use his knowledge. Right. Good. Yes, sir.
You know, I study a lot the conversation between Moses and God in Exodus 34. And man, he revealed to Moses his very nature. And you look at characteristics of his nature, you know, his attributes, you will see that he doesn't take pleasure in punishing his children and his people. But it's just that when we sin, punishment has to come. And that helps me a lot to appreciate God, that he's not sitting up there just waiting to zap us.
Right.
Because it doesn't please him to punish us. But it's something that's necessary for our own good, for our benefit.
Yeah.
And one thing he said to Moses, he will not clear the guilty. And I took that and I went to Hebrew 9, I think beginning with verse 15 or something, that during that time, he could not clear the guilty because animal sacrifice could not clear the guilty. But when he sent Christ, Christ's blood cleared the guilt of sin on our consciences. That's why in 1 Peter 3, 20, 21, 22, 23, he says that we stand before God with a good conscience. So at that time, he couldn't clear the guilty. So he had to wait to send Christ for his blood to clear the guilty. And again, knowing him, his nature, I guess I don't really live by fear, but I live by gratitude and love for him, for the kind of person, the kind of God he is. And that helps me a lot,
yep,
to know the kind of God that he is.
One of the other things I put down, and Sam touched on in Hebrews 12, was a lack of respect. I fear God sometimes when I don't respect him as I should. I think we see that in the world today. And I'm not talking about Christendom. I'm talking about worldly people who really blaspheme the name of God and show a lot of disrespect. I don't ever want to show God disrespect. I have a fear if I were to do that.
Going to happen after this. But his promises, if we can believe them and have faith in them, give us comfort. But we still don't know how it's going to work out. We have hope, right, of something better than what has been promised. But we also know that we don't want to end up in the absence of God, because we are not able to comprehend what that means, because even the worst atheists has God controlling this environment. And so we don't know what it's going to be like to be separated from God, and it can't be comprehended because it's not within our ability to understand that, other than what he has said regarding it's going to be bad and you won't be with me. And we don't want that, right? So there is fear in the unknown. People fear the unknown all the time. So I wanted to bring that up because it's very tricky. We don't know what's going to happen, but we have to put our trust and faith and hope in God. Take care of us.
Right?
Yeah. Spending time trying to get my head wrapped around things. Whenever we speak with someone who is not a member of the church, who is lost, one of the things we must convince them is that they are lost. And at the point we convince them that they are outside of God's people, that they are lost, that they are separated from him, and that their sins have done that, there is a fear that comes over them because they realize,
yeah,
what the end result is. It was exactly what happened to the Jews in Acts 2. Peter convinced them that they were separated from God, and when they realized that, they looked up, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So there was a fear there of, we're now separated, and this is the end lot. this end result of that, Peter then provides the prescription. This is where you're at, and I know you're fearful of that, and you don't want that. Here's the only prescription to save you from that. And God has given his Son, who you crucified. His blood will cleanse you and keep you from this. So the motivation to obey is not that I'm scared to death. Motivation is, this is the prescription. I want to accept this. And that's why they obey, and they continue to obey, because they're appreciative and they love God and they understand what he's done for them. Over time, though, our fervor and zeal may wane. And we see throughout the New Testament that Christians were reminded, this is what falling away will lead to. This is what God has done for you. They're reminded of where they should be and what the end result is. And discipline is a real staunch reminder that things have come between you and God, and you've now gone back over here, and this is where you're headed towards. And it should strike fear into them and drive them to remember that, yes, God did do these things for me. Christ died for me. He shed his blood. And I need that. And I want to have that redemption. And I don't want to go to hell. So there is a balance of fear and understanding what God has done and love. And it's all part of the same thing.
Right.
Kind of off of what Brian said, I mean, it's not a scare tactic. You're not trying to scare people into being saved. That's not what they're after. It's a warning, because you know his word is law. He's saying you have free will to do whatever you want, but if you don't do what I said, here's what's going to happen. I'm just warning you up front. I keep staring at this picture of this road up here. I know that's kind of what it's for, I guess. But if it's God's will that I go down this road, fear is what keeps me on the road. But it does. I'm not moving. It's love and that hope that I have that keeps me moving down the road. Fear just keeps me from drifting side to side.
So would you say, could we agree, and this is what I have written down here. But you guys have got way ahead of me. That's good. So do we only, if you think about this, and this is not a profound thought, I don't have those. Would you say that fear enters our life concerning God, towards God, when we're not doing what God wants us to do? Because the things that I listed, disappointing God, failing God, showing lack of respect, those are faults, and we all sin. I understand Romans. We all sin and fall short. But Romans 3:23, I know fear, to me, fear enters in when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. I'm trying to put that in simple Dunedin English. Yeah, that's when I become afraid. If Mac's not walking in the light, I need to be afraid. If Mac's walking in the light, I think it's love that motivates me to do more. So that's why I got to thinking, you know, last week I felt like I emphasized fear a little bit too much. Therefore, you know, okay, get back on track. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Get closer to God, and the fear will subside and love takes over. Right. Yeah. And I'm going to stay away from those bad choices. But I think my fear of, well, you know, I've got to work on my attitude towards people. Because if I don't, you know, I'm not doing the things I should be. I could harm a Christian's attitude. I could be a discouragement instead of an encouragement. Daryl?
God didn't have to make us. I mean, he had everything. loved us so much, he made us. He, you know, sent his own son to die for us. And it's like John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friend. And you know, you look at verses like 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove yourself that Christ be in you, yet lest you be reprobate. It's life's a continuous monitoring of what, you know, we're doing our best.
Yeah.
We're studying, doing our best, and if we're doing that, we should have the assurance, you know, we're walking in life like 1 John 1:7 says.
So, I've got down here that God is love, 1 John 4:8. Not that God loves, we know that God loves, 1 John 4 says God is love. He is the essence of love. I don't think we get that sometimes because we love these individuals, but God is love. He is the epitome of love. And while we were yet sinners, that's my favorite verse, Romans 5:8, Christ died for the ungodly. We love God. Why? Because he first loved us, and that we should love one another. John 13. So this, listen to this, and this I'll get out of the way. I saw this and I thought this was really good. I wish I could, you know, come up with a greeting card or something. Fear causes suspicion. Love offers trust. Fear causes skepticism. Love offers hope. Fear causes separation. Love offers unity. Fear causes isolation. Love offers community. Fear causes resentment. Love offers joy. Fear causes criticism. But love offers encouragement. And lastly, fear causes self, where love offers to others. I thought that was pretty good. I think we're out of time. Thank y'all. I didn't really get stuck on fear again that much, but I wanted to kind of correct that.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.